Hello, I'm Carol.
And I'm Susan. Welcome to Kickapoo Nightlife, a news magazine where we'll explore our world after sunset, from the stars and planets above to fireflies, frogs, I love frogs, bats, insects, and birds, and not least, humans too, and how we all benefit from darkness at night.
We'll explore the importance of dark skies and dark nights, and how we are all made to live in a world that is dark half of every day. There will be news on how you can have effective, efficient, affordable lighting that also helps all the birds, bugs, and critters who, like us, need dark skies for health and well-being.
And we'll be talking with people from around Wisconsin and other places who are working to keep our night skies dark while giving us good lighting to live by, as well as experts in the fields of biology, medicine, and astronomy who will help us understand the science of how dark skies are as essential to our world as daylight.
Today's show is sponsored by Bird Baths. Susan, just think how nice a refreshing bath feels and how good a long, cool drink of water tastes. Don't you think birds deserve the same?
I sure do. I love baths. Listeners, support our sponsor. Provide the birds visiting your yard with a clean bird bath filled with fresh water and elevate it so the birds can bathe safely away from the kitty cats and other predators.
A drum roll, please. A special announcement. We are celebrating International Dark Sky Week, April 13th through the 20th. On Kickapoo Nightlife, it's a holiday.
The stars are coming out like popcorn. The stars are coming out of control. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The stars are coming out like popcorn. With a whoa, heaven has a bow, whoa, whoa. That Milky Way is looking so dreamy. That Milky Way is looking so sweet. That Milky Way is looking so creamy. It's almost good enough for anyone to eat. The stars are coming out like pop, pop, popcorn. They're shooting from the north to the south. Wow, 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 wow. The stars are coming out like pop, pop, popcorn. So go outside and open up your ma 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 ma. Stars are coming out like pop, pop, popcorn. They're shooting from the north to the south. Whoa, 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 whoa. The stars are coming out like pop, pop, popcorn. So go outside and open. You better step outside and open. You better fly outside and open. You better pop outside and open up your ma 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 ma. Open up your mouth.
Well, we feel like celebrating. International Dark Sky Week is a global celebration of the night. From the darkness needed for a restful night's sleep to the activities we enjoy beneath the stars, the night's filled with wonder and importance. Dark nights sustain critical wildlife ecosystems, strengthen the well-being of our communities, enable scientific discoveries, and preserve shared cultural knowledge and traditions. Join us this month as we go dark to explore the night and take action to protect it.
Dark skies, worth celebrating, worth keeping. Susan, what are five action steps our listeners can take in honor of International Dark Sky Week?
Carol, I don't think the five action steps should be limited to International Dark Sky Week. There's simple steps we all need to be taking to protect the night sky and the well-being of humans and all living creatures. I hope during Dark Sky Week, our listeners implement this plan of action and continue it into the future, and then go out at night and look at the stars. Here they are. Choose shielded fixtures that direct light down. use warmer colored LED bulbs with a Kelvin rating of 2200 or less. Turn off unneeded lights and use motion sensors and timers. And advocate for community outdoor lighting ordinances. And last, inform others about the simple changes they can make to save dark skies.
The International Dark Sky Association asks that we all take a pledge to protect the dark sky. Go to www.idsw.darksky.org to take the pledge to protect the dark sky. And for more information about dark sky issues and what you can do to help.
Listeners can also go to www.4darkskies, that's the number 4darkskies.org, the website for our very own Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative, for great information about the science of dark skies and the ways we can protect it. Our April calendar of events has a few things on it this month. Tuesday, April 2nd, is the full moon. This moon decides the date of Easter, which is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. Could it be more complicated? The Dark Sky Wisconsin monthly meeting is Thursday, April 16th at 6:30 p.m. For a Zoom link to attend the meeting, email email wisconsin@darksky.org or go to Dark Sky Wisconsin on Facebook. They'll have the information there. April 18th to 25th is a week-long Earth Day celebration at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. The Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative will be there with information about all things related to the night and dark skies. April 22nd and 23rd is the Lyrid Meteor Shower. Often these meteors have long tails, and there can be maybe about 18 of these an hour at the peak of them. Most originate from the area of the constellation Lyra, and the best viewing is usually after 10 p.m. So join us this month in some of these events. April warmer days bring us all outdoors, and we enjoy the first flowers and birds and the fresh scents of sounds of spring. I think I messed a word there. And it's also time to take a little extra time and go out at twilight and walk into the night. Starting in April on the 13th, International Dark Sky Week will overlap with Earth Day. And it's filled with information and activities all around the world that can be shared in person or online to learn about the night and dark sky. During that week, Earth Day celebrations will be held on April 18th to renew our connection and understanding of the ecosystem that keeps us alive. The Kickapoo Valley Reserve will have activities, information, and events from April 18th to the 25th that includes both Earth Day and Dark Sky Week. Find information on smart lighting, how to prevent light pollution, information about health and light, bird migration, animal life at night, and human health related to Earth's day-night cycles at the KVR. It's a great place to visit that week. Enjoy the spring in the daylight and after dark. Learn useful information about how to live better with smart lighting, as well as benefit birds and animals. Then take the time to listen to the first frogs, watch the sunset and the stars come out. Put April 18th on your calendar for visiting the Kickapoo Valley Reserve.
April's Phenology Report. The annual spring bird migration has begun, with millions of birds flying overhead each night, now through June. To save birds throughout the year, turn off exterior lights and indoor lights that shine outside 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. every night, but especially during migration. Tree sap begins flowing as the days get warmer and trees are beginning to bud. Male red-winged blackbirds return to Wisconsin from their warm southern winter retreats. You'll see them returning in large flocks, sweeping across the sky and landing in chattering groups in wetlands. Listen for their distinctive song. The woodcock, also called the timberdoodle, are breeding and the males are doing their spring dance. Look for tundra swans as they migrate through Wisconsin on their way north to the Arctic Circle. Bluebirds return. Frogs begin to call in wetlands. Listen for their high-pitched beep of the spring peeper, the hoarse quacking of the wood frog, or the long creak sound like a fingernail pulled across the teeth of a comb made by the chorus frog. Bloodroot, an early spring flower, now appearing with its leaves wrapped around the flower bud. Many fish are moving about in Wisconsin's waters. They're exciting to watch as they dance, wiggle, and sail through the shallow waters of our rivers and lakes to find their breeding places. Many animals are born in spring, and you might discover young animals in your yard or in the wild. They're often cute, helpless, and seem friendly. But remember, a parent is usually nearby. Wild animals are best left in the wild. House wrens are beginning to arrive and looking for lodging. Hello, little birds. Now is the time to hang up their house. Nothing says welcome like a nice, clean room. Bellwort, Jacob's ladder, and marsh marigolds are blooming. Eaglets are hatching, keeping doting parents busy with demands for food. Trilliums are blooming, dotting the forest floors. Remember, look only, don't pick them. Eastern screech owls can be heard through the night with their eerie calls. Painted turtles are hatching. Watch out for them crossing the roads. White-tailed deer bucks are growing antlers. Little brown bats begin arriving to help us control mosquitoes. Welcome, purple martins, ruby-throated hummingbirds, and indigo buntings. Remember to put out grape jelly and orange halves for orioles. Ah, the sweet smell of spring has arrived.
We'd like to congratulate Mount Horeb for its new ordinance regulating exterior lighting, which requires dark sky-friendly lighting within the village limits. Visit Mount Horeb, stop for a nice dinner, and check out the night sky. See the Mount Horeb difference.
And congratulations to Wayne Hogrud, Lafarge Public Works Manager, who was awarded the prestigious Star Award for the Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative for his public service and active support of dark sky-friendly lighting. If you see Wayne, shake his hand and say thanks. Six bird migration facts to know.
The birds are heading back our way, so think about these things. Bird fact number one, there are more than 650 species of North American breeding birds, and more than half are migratory. Birds migrate for two primary reasons, food and nesting. Birds that nest in the northern hemisphere tend to migrate northward in the spring to take advantage of large insect populations, budding plants, and an abundance of nesting locations. As winter approaches and the availability of insects and other food drops, the birds move south again.
Bird fact number two, not all birds migrate. Some are permanent residents like the cardinal, But those birds who do migrate fall into three categories: short distance, such as the quail; medium distance, like the blue jay, that may move a few hundred miles; and long distance migrates, that move thousands of miles, as do warblers and about 349 other species of birds. While short distance migration probably developed from a fairly simple need for food, the origins of long distance migration patterns are much more complex. They've evolved over thousands of years and are controlled, at least partially, by genetic makeup of the birds. They also incorporate responses to weather, geography, food sources, day length, and other factors.
Bird fact number three. Migrating birds can cover thousands of miles in their annual travels, often traveling the same course year after year with little deviation. First-year birds often make their very first migration on their own. Sometimes they can find their winter home despite never having seen it before, and they return the following spring to the place where they were born. How birds navigate is not fully understood, partly because birds combine several different types of senses when they navigate. Birds can get compass information from the sun, the stars, and by sensing the Earth's magnetic field. They also get information from the position of the setting sun and from landmarks seen during the day. There's even evidence that some may use a sense of smell in their navigational process.
Bird fact number four. Some species, particularly waterfowl and cranes, follow preferred pathways on their annual migrations. Ducks, geese, and shorebirds use defined flyways to travel up and down the continent. One flyway along each coast, one up the Mississippi River Valley, and one in the center of the continent. These pathways are often related to important stopover locations that provide food supplies critical to the bird's survival. Terrestrial birds, the songbirds, are much smaller and are not reliant on the same kinds of habitats as birds that depend on being near water. There really isn't a narrow migration path for them, whereas land birds follow different routes in spring and fall. These tiny birds use elliptical routes that take advantage of prevailing wind patterns to save calories.
Bird fact number five. Land birds fit into three main groups: a western group consisting of 31 species, a central group of 17 species, and 45 species in an eastern group. Their routes are much more spread out across the continent, with routes of the central and eastern groups having considerable overlap. 80% of these species migrate at night at high altitudes where they can't be seen. But when the sun comes up in the morning, they have to find somewhere to roost and feed. Taking a journey that can stretch to a round-trip distance of several thousand miles is a dangerous and arduous undertaking. It's an effort that tests both the bird's physical and mental capabilities. The physical stress of the trip, lack of adequate food supplies along the way, bad weather, and increased exposure to predators all add to the hazards of the journey.
Bird fact number six. In recent decades, long-distance migrants have been facing a growing threat from communication towers and tall buildings. Many species are attracted to the lights of buildings and the reflection of window glass, and millions are killed each year in collisions with these structures. However, in a recent study reported by Cornell Lab of Ornithology, 44% of low-rise buildings and 55% of mid-rise buildings are responsible for the highest rates of bird collisions. Additionally, bright lights and the resulting sky glow are disorienting and cause confusion regarding night and day and location. Our lighting preferences and actions make a life and death difference for migrating birds.
If you enjoy watching birds, value their bug-eating capacity, and all the other good things they do for us, then take steps to ensure their health and well-being.
The Aero Ecolab of Purdue University is a great place to learn about bird migration and to follow the nightly migration not only through Wisconsin, but nationally, watching it unfold in real time. Go to www.aeroecolab.com/US Lights. Another resource is Lights Out Wisconsin. To sign up for Lights Out reminders at the start and at the end of each migratory season, go to www.lightsoutwisconsin.org.
Well, Carol, this is the time of year that we need to think about the migrating birds, and hopefully every year we can do a little more to help more of them get where they're going. I have an interesting piece of news before we close about not migration, but bats moving back and forth.
Oh, let's hear it.
Well, it seems that a town in Denmark named...
Denmark? In Denmark? Denmark, Wisconsin?
No, Denmark. Denmark. The town is Gladsaxe, Denmark.
Oh.
There's 70,000 people in it. And they recently replaced their light fixtures with warm-colored LED streetlights along a major road. This road separated an urban developed area with woodland where bats lived. And the bats couldn't cross the road because there were streetlights, bright lights, that they wouldn't go into that light and glare.
Wow.
So the bats couldn't go and eat outside of the forest. And they looked at that and thought they could do something about it. So they put these warm-colored lights along this whole section of highway. And they believed the Danish Road Directorate is the organization.
Okay.
And they believed that the road could serve both humans and animals by changing the lighting.
Yeah.
Bats were not bothered by this warmer-colored light, and humans can see quite well in that light range. We use it in airplane cockpits mm-hmm. and places like that where we have to work in darkness. We've known that for a long time. So they put these lights up, and now they're going to study cost effectiveness, how much money they save doing it, and what animal patterns change over time because this highway is not a barrier anymore to their normal travel patterns.
That's really a brilliant solution.
Well, I think it's interesting that Europe has got a number of these things going on in different countries. We'll hear about some more of them in later programs. But they looked at what they know about light and what their problem was, and they thought, why don't we just put the solution right into the infrastructure instead of trying to mitigate a problem? We'll just solve the problem. So it's an example, I think, of how we can get along and still have the things we need with lighting.
Absolutely. That's absolutely one of the coolest things I've heard today.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And there's a whole European lighting metropolis green mobility. It's a large EU-funded program that's testing sustainable lighting solutions in mostly Scandinavia, Denmark and Sweden, but in other places throughout Europe, too. And they're really looking ahead.
We can learn a lot from them.
We can. Mm-hmm. We don't often hear about what goes on over there, but they're doing some interesting
things. Very cool. Susan, I'm not sure our listeners know the origins of the Lights Out Bird Migration Program.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you help remind everybody before too many birds get back here?
Yeah, it's the season. The Aero Ecolab at Purdue University's Department of Forestry and Natural Resources, formerly of the University of Colorado, began it in 2019, developing the program. The Aero Ecolab team focuses on the fascinating study of bird migration, employing a diverse array of tools and methods such as radar, acoustics, bird banding, radio frequency identification, and community science data. they delve into key migration topics, including avian flight strategies, long-term phenological changes, and population estimates, the impacts of artificial light, and migration forecasting. The team recognized that their advanced bird migration tracking could be utilized to alert the public of when bird migrations are occurring, and especially during times of peak migration, to remind people to turn off exterior lights to protect birds moving through their area. Listeners can sign up to receive Lights Out migration alerts by going to www.aeroecolab.com and then clicking Birdcast in the top directory bar, where the sign-up location is. The spring migration has begun and will peak throughout the month of May. Millions of birds are flying overhead every night to their summer nesting grounds, and it's so fascinating to watch. And so I encourage everybody to go to the Aero Eco Lab website to be able to see what's going on overhead.
It's quite interesting to look at those radar maps, or however all they put the maps together, and see the densities change of the birds flying overhead that you never see, you know.
Yeah, it is, especially if you look at it at night, and then you can think, oh, that's happening right now over the head of my house.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I know that in the past when I was outdoors at night a lot more camping and traveling, that there were some nights when the geese migrated that I remember laying underneath the full moon and just watching geese go over. I don't know how long, all night long, they just streamed across this full moon. And it was a really moving, memorable experience. It happened a couple of different times, but when you actually see them and they're not that far away that you can't see them, it's very powerful.
And they can be really noisy travelers,
yes,
too, which
yeah.
makes it kind of fun.
Yeah, you can tell where they're coming and going from.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But a lot of them they all have to come down, and they all have to go up at the twilight times. And then those first periods of time between the dark and before the dawn, between the dark and before the dawn. It's not quite how I wanted to say it, but those times when they're close to the ground, that's dangerous time for them to interfere
yes.
with our lights. So even though most of the birds are in the air after 11, it's really good to think about maybe turning your lights down or out after twilight, because a lot of them are close to the ground at that time.
Absolutely. And this is one of my favorite times of the year, when the birds are migrating and the critters are coming back and getting ready to start their families, and all the sounds and the sights and the smells of spring.
We survived another winter.
And we survived another winter.
Yeah.
Yep, that's high on my list.
Yeah. Well, we are coming to the end of this month's program, and we hope that our emphasis on migrating birds and things in the spring will get you all out there enjoying things. So take care and treat yourself to go out and look at the spring night sky.
And also remember to choose your outdoor lights carefully.
Dark skies are important to health of humans and all living beings. I'm Susan.
And I'm Carol. Thanks for joining us. Remember to turn off your lights, go outside, and look at the stars.